Joe Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Right off the bat, the guy that had his truck overtaken by those Haitians yesterday, why didn't he floor it? Because he's a nice guy. Craig and I were discussing that before the show, and we saw the Haitians swarming over that guy's truck on the causeway in Miami. And the first thing that came to my mind, predictably, as it did to every one of you listening out there, was I would have floored it. I would have punched the gas until I saw nothing but guys flying out of the bed of that truck, weaving down the road, you know, doing one of those Dirty Harry, swerving back and forth, some guy hanging under the hood. What if there was a dude hanging under the hood of the car, and you're just doing one of those Dirty Harry, swerving back and forth, until finally the guy just rolls off the hood? The guy's hanging on the hood of your car. And the first thought was, well, I would have floored it. And I looked and I noticed that the man didn't. And I'm assuming that he didn't want to hurt anybody. And I am also stating for the record that he's a far better man than me. Far better person. And I mean that. My instinct would have been to have floored that thing. I don't know whether he was frightened. But I can bet you money the guy probably didn't want to take off with all of those people all over the car because he didn't want to run somebody over, do you think? Because I saw these folks just crawling along the causeway. What did they think they were going? What did they think was going to happen? Maybe he was in shock, the guy with the truck, because he's usually used to seeing Cubans crawling all over it. And suddenly, wait, these folks are black. Who are they? I don't know. They sure as hell don't want to wash my windshield. A hell of a lot of people want to do my windshield here. I don't understand, although I do understand, and I also understand today the outrage of the Haitian people, although I did see Governor Bush talking to that Haitian disc jockey. Is that what I'm told was the person who was yelling at him? You have to understand, because I know a lot of you guys have never been to Florida. You might not understand the politics and the law that whirls around this situation, but for some reason, Cubans have an easier time getting into the United States than anybody else. I think it has something to do with Cuba being a communist country, and the State Department automatically recognizes that any exile from a communist nation should be granted asylum because the communism is evil and rotten and bad, and it deprives you of your rights, and there is no God, and we automatically must grant asylum to those people. Whereas if you come from Haiti, which any sensible person would say is a corrupt regime, and corrupt at this stage of the discussion is a relative term. It's corrupt because it's just hundreds of years of corrupt, or is it corrupt because the president, the Aristide, is corrupt, or there's just such a long-standing difficulty in getting that economy righted that nobody, even you know, Jesus could walk in there tomorrow and he might have a hard time getting the toilets to flush. So it's a relative thing, but Haiti's a tough road to hoe for anybody living there. And I feel for anybody living in that country, and if it was me, I'd be scrambling onto the causeway too. Now, we can sit here and say it's wrong and it shouldn't be here, and you're right, it is wrong, and they shouldn't be here. It's against the law. I just wonder why it is we've got a double standard with some of these entry policies. Well, I know why it is. I can answer my question, but somewhere along the line, you got to start to understand it. You got to start to do something about it. It's like Mexicans come in here. They got to crawl underneath the barbed wire, swim the Rio Grande, and they have to risk days at a time in the desert so that they can have the privilege of working at a taco stand. Right? And what do we get? What are they to us? They're a bunch of wetbacks, braceros. And why don't you go back where you came from, and all of that predictable American jazz. Cubans, on the other hand, well, come on in. I got nothing against the people of Cuba, and I ain't even saying you got it better than anybody else. I'm just saying, you guys, you got to admit, you got a little bit of a break. Any cat coming from a commie country, am I right? It's got to be. And you talk about alliteration. Any cat coming from a commie country. North Korea, China, that's it. Cuba, how many more are left? I think that's about it. Those are the only three we're letting in. And we need more Chinese, like freaking Pelton needs another inch of beard. I'll tell you who we ought to be keeping out, the Canadians. If you want my honest opinion, as much as I love and respect my very dear friend Janice Ngero, when I read that thing today about the Canadians warning the Syrians not to come into America because they think we're a bunch of discriminatory fascist bastards, I wanted to cancel my season tickets to the Ducks. So anyway, that's the backdrop. Now, you can say what you want. It is outrageous. It is a fair point to discuss the Coast Guard of the United States of America. What exactly is the problem here? I got up this morning. I understand that people were outraged that this was a breaching of the border. But I didn't hear anybody really taking the Coast Guard to task. I did hear people say, well, they really need a lot of help. They've got a lot of coastline there to protect. It's like a boat in the middle of the water. And then I heard the guy said they tracked it in. Am I right or am I wrong? The Coast Guard had that thing on its radar. They tracked it in, and they waited to rescue. I'm missing a whole lot here. I read the news. Didn't you guys read the news? I'm missing a whole lot. Why didn't they stop it and board it and tell them to turn around and go back? Or at that point, was it a humanitarian effort and they needed to get another craft and get people off of the boat and save them, which I understand that. But how these guys wade ashore and get onto the... Now, the guy that said in the news, hey, this could have been Al-Qaeda, that's real knucklehead because the Coast Guard was watching them every step. Problem is, at some point, they lost control of the situation. And the next thing you know, you've got hundreds of Haitians swarming all over a Nissan midsize. Some guy who's he's on his way to fix a doorknob or something, and there's suddenly all these skinnies all over his truck. Very interesting. 1-800-449-8686. And by the way, I don't want you guys getting too freaked out about this, but we got to wait for France to give us the big thumbs up on whether we go into Iraq, because the word is they're running the show there in the United Nations now. The French, they really got it going on. They're not going to be bullied into anything, and Russia's not going to be bullied into anything, and they're all going to tell us to take a flying jump. They're not going to do whatever we want them to do. They're going to sit. They're going to twiddle their thumbs. They're going to look at their watches. They're going to go out and get a cheeseburger. They're going to come back. They're going to debate some more. And they're going to do this in a very civilized, multilateral way. And they're just not going to let America be the bully. Because do you want to know what the biggest threat to global peace is today? It's not Iraq. It's America. Have you heard the latest? We're the ones. We're the guys that are the biggest threat to global peace. This is how brainwashed. I don't know if it's brainwashed. Is this dumb? I don't know what it is. It's the French have forced themselves into the realm of dumb. Anything rather than have to be smart and accept that a lot of the stuff we do is good. Because that would mean they'd have to be smart. So what they've decided to do is they've retreated into bubble land. They've retreated out into the sea of dumb. Now they're saying America's the biggest threat to peace worldwide. How I wish Al-Qaeda would fly a plane into the Eiffel Tower. Oh, God, I want that. Please. Let me give you guys an idea. On your next... Oh, wait a minute. We're going to get in trouble now? Are people going to say that I... Yeah, that's it. Al-Qaeda's getting their marching orders from me. They're listening to the show. And just like that knucklehead who said it was my fault that poor man got shot at a Ponderosa steakhouse because Ted Bell was on the night before saying that he was giving people maps to his new restaurant on Capitol Hill there, the Ted's of Beverly Hills Washington franchise. So the next day I get an email from a guy saying, you caused the death of that man because they got an idea. Let's go hit a steakhouse. So now what Al-Qaeda's going to do is they're going to get their brilliant idea from the Phil Henry show, and they're going to fly a plane into the Eiffel Tower, and yeah, I'll be arrested, and I'll be right there at Gitmo with the rest of them. I'm going to put out a I Hate France t-shirt on the website, and it's going to have my face on it, and we're going to sell it, and we're going to make hundreds of millions of dollars on it. What do you think? Forget about all the... What's that, buddy? Yeah, I Hate France. It'll have a picture of me with the big finger just sticking up in the air. Right there. And you know you'd wear that. You know you'd wear that. And I'll put it on and I'll go to the freaking Louvre in it or whatever they call that. The Louvre. The Louvre. I'll go down to that Picasso Museum. I'll say, give me a Coke. Hey, give me a Coke. Got that big I Hate France t-shirt. Because they're running the show now, see? And they're going to check their fingernails and buff them up and go and have themselves a cigarette and a coffee, and everything's just going to be El Chilo, baby. Now, we're just going to wait and see. Now, you know, I know we've been sticking our thumb up our ass for 10 years on this Iraq deal, but let's have it parked up there a few more years because, you know, you can never go too slow. See, we finally got the idea that maybe we had to move a little quicker on Iraq because we did get 3,000 people buried, you know, on September 11, 2001. Sorry, I got to keep reminding people about that, but it seems like they need reminding. Well, what did Iraq have to do with that? What did Iraq have to do with that? Well, Ms. Streisand,
Iraq didn't attack us. Al-Qaeda did.
Okay, you bet. You're right. I'm wrong, you know. And McDonald's doesn't buy their beef from the same place Jack in the Box does. Yeah, okay. Jesus. Anyway, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Governor Bush is pressured on Haitians. Normally, Cuban immigrants are allowed to remain in the United States if they reach land, while those intercepted at sea are returned. The governor said he agrees Haitian immigrants should be released until their asylum request is heard, like immigrants from other countries. Haitians should be treated in the same fashion that Jamaicans, people from the Bahamas, and people from any country in the world, Bush said. Are you now trying to tell me that Jamaicans get to run free until they get their asylum thing heard? I think they ought to be stuck in a camp, too. This is the first I heard about this, that Jamaicans get to roam free. If I knew that, what are you talking? Bahamians and Jamaicans get to just crawl around free? Put them all in a camp. Put the Cubans, the Jamaicans, and the Bahamians in a camp, and let the Haitians run free. Because if Haitians run free, why can't me? All right, 1-800-449-8686, and you know, like that.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Extreme Radio.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
So I got onto the French Foreign Legion website. Every time I talk about France with somebody, and Craig was and I were sitting here, and we were saying, basically, there's more hatred for the French in this program than there is for Al-Qaeda. It isn't hatred. It really, it's not hatred. It's just an extreme distaste. In other words, if I saw a French guy on fire across the street, I would run across the street to pee on him. I wouldn't. No, there's no hatred here. There's no hatred on this show. There is anger. There's disillusionment. There is, at times, confusion. There is hurt. There's a lot of hurt on this program. Because I'm hurt. I'm a hurt, damaged human being. There, how's that for some deep Dr. Phil honesty for you, huh? Because he would say to me, if Dr. Phil were here, why don't you shove it square up your rear end, pal? Thank you, Dr. Phil. You're welcome. If Dr. Phil were here, he would say, Hendry, why don't you take your pain and park it up left, sideways? Thank you, sir. You're welcome. Anyway, the French Foreign Legion, before I get off the track and before we take another call, is an organization of any scumbag that wants to get into it. See, you can't even really call the French Foreign Legion a legitimate arm of the French Armed Forces, although it is, I suppose. And they did fight in the Gulf War. But there are a whole bunch of guys from all over the world. And they're any kind of dirtbag. You can get into the French Foreign Legion with a criminal record. You could have your own filing cabinet at the county. And they'll let you in because they don't ask no questions. Now, what happens is this. You're in for 7 years. If you go AWOL and they catch you, they stick you on Devil's Island. An island way off in the Mediterranean. Now, I don't even know if they have Devil's Island anymore. But they stick you in a prison. And you're there for life. You'll rot there. Now, if they don't catch you, you're not allowed back into France for the rest of your life, which is kind of a real heartbreak, ain't it? I think they might want to revamp that one. Hey, guys, that whole can't get back into France thing, it's not doing it for me. I'm leaving anyway. All right, here is Amy on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Amy.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
I would like to preface my comment and my question by just saying that I know a lot of the things that you say are designed to make people think and also to generate comments and calls. But I wanted to know if you really do think that Haitians, Jamaicans, and Bahamians should be put into a camp. if they make it to the United States.
Well, I'd like to preface my response by saying I do not try to generate phone calls. I'm well past the point in my career of caring whether I get calls. I do care if I get calls. That's not honest. But I don't care if I put any on the air. So that's important for you to know, because I'm not trying to generate phone calls. It's the worst thing I could do, in fact. I'm trying to generate interest in my audience.
Okay.
Now, to answer your question, no, I do not think they should be put into camps.
Okay.
A lot of my attitude there sprung from the fact that I'm not a big Jamaica fan. Okay. Having traveled to Jamaica and found the country to be really foul and the people unfriendly, and I speak not as a white man, I speak as an American, because I know black Americans who are treated equally as bad, if not worse. And I'm also not a fan of the Bahamas. I find that to be an odious place, too. It stinks. It's impoverished. They've got a huge casino. Any place with big, big casinos and horrific poverty surrounding it, I think is a candidate for a nuclear attack. But that's just me. So, no, of course not. I really believe that a man struggling to be free, a man swimming or boating across hundreds of miles of angry ocean to try to gain a foothold in a country, I think, especially a country of ours, I think he at least ought to be given a fair shot. Right now, we're a country in crisis. We're a country who under assault from an angry enemy. We have a depressed economy slightly. We got a lot of jobs we'd like to give Americans. It's tough to say this is a real great time for immigration, but hey, it's also hard to slam the door on somebody who honestly is trying to better himself, and in the process, being a part of this country and making the country better.
Right. Yeah. I'd also like to make aware some of your listeners, I don't know if they realize it, but a lot of the Mexicans who come here, I live very close to a town called Waimama, where we have a lot of immigrant workers or migrant workers, and if they didn't work here, if they didn't pick the different crops that we have, none of us would have accessibility, except for people who are very wealthy.
You're right.
To the majority of the produce
right.
that
the
we
The sad
enjoy.
Part of that, though, is we've been making this point for years. We've been saying you wouldn't have the economy that you have were it not for the Mexican migrants that work in the fields, that work in a variety of industries, but it doesn't seem to make an impression. So, I got to go? No, I don't have to break. But it doesn't seem to make an impression on people. I give an example, and I said this a couple of years ago. I made this point in California. One of our recreations is horse racing. We have three major plants in Southern California: Santa Anita, Hollywood Park, Del Mar. The INS raided Del Mar a number of summers back and swept through the place and grabbed every illegal in the joint. That meant hot walkers. That meant guys that are assisting the trainers. That meant guys that are shoveling hay. Whatever. They had to literally cancel the day's program of races, and quite possibly were looking at canceling the meet. The people that run Del Mar had to intercede with the INS and say, you're going to shut us down. You're going to shut us down. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand that what I'm saying is, with the sweeping of illegal immigrants from Mexico at that racetrack on that day, an entire industry, or at least a portion of that industry, in Southern California, Del Mar, would have been shut down. Do you understand what I'm saying, finally, some of you guys? Not all of you, some of you. You don't just round up the Mexicans and send them back. They have become an integral part of our community and economy to the point where even the government understands that and is granting amnesty and is granting residence to many, if not most, of them. Now, the Haitians, on the other hand, I can do without some of those restaurants, right? So send them back. I'm kidding. Actually, there's a really great Haitian joint in Miami called Tap Tap down near South Beach, so I suggest you go in, order the garlic snapper, but don't be with a woman who enjoys garlic, because she may do what my wife did, which was eat both of ours before I got back from the bathroom. So that was a lot of fun.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Extreme Radio. Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Look, I know that everybody would, you know, if the Mexicans weren't here, we'd finally get a whole bunch of white folks to start picking the beets and the radishes. Like, you know, it's the Dust Bowl again. But everybody has their place. Like, for instance, if we didn't have skinny white guys with no teeth and three fingers, there'd be no carnivals in parking lots. So you understand that those are the guys that run all those octopus machines. If there were no skinny, crank-addled white guys, now that's not fair to say. Next thing you know, I'm going to be getting phone calls and letters from them. And I got no information to justify what I just said, so I apologize. This all came from the warped, disgusting, and twisted mind of my producer, Janice Ungaro. Welcome to America, Janice. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Todd. Hello, Todd. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Fine, sir.
Good. The minute that you get those shirts out, I'm going to order 10.
The
brand shirts.
We got it, man.
I'm all over it, man. I'm gonna just take people to French restaurants. I mean, failing anything else.
I tell you what, I got $100 for anybody that gets off a plane. I got $100. I got $1,000 for anybody that stands right there in that. What's that? You know where the Louvre? Have you ever been to Paris?
No.
There's a circular driveway that goes through the Louvre and a bunch of crap. Anybody that stands right there in the middle of that with a I Hate France shirt and the big finger and get a picture of it and send it to the Phil Hendry website, and it's not phony, because you'd be surprised, Tom. A lot of guys try to dummy up photos, you know, superimpose them and stuff. And it's not a phony. We'll give you, as I just said,
$10. $10, that's right.
No, I'm kidding. Well, what's
like
a fair amount of
money? How do you have any respect for a country whose last major naval victory was over a Greenpeace ship?
Well, I mean, that be that as it may. The fact is that, well, thanks for calling. That joke put me in a bad mood. No. Look, I ain't saying that they don't fight. I guess they do. But if I'm going to sit here and say, for instance, if someone flew a jet, if Al-Qaeda flew a jet into the Eiffel Tower, what do you think the French would do? Ask yourself, truly, from your gut, what do you think that nation would do? Nobody's saying, well, they'd attack. They would do something military. They'd do nothing. They would do nothing. They'd protest to the UN. They'd kick out the ambassador. Or maybe I got it all wrong. Anyway, all of this is to say, you know, I don't really know what I'm saying, and I don't know what I believe. I'm just trying to sell some I Hate France t-shirts. Here is Christy on the Phil Hendry Show. Christy?
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
I'm just calling about the whole immigration thing for the, like, Mexico to work in America, the guest work program.
The Mexicos?
Yeah, no one's going to take away the Phil Hendry Show, but the little people, we're not going to get paid what our jobs are worth because Mexico works for cheap because they don't make any money. So,
what do you mean nobody's going to take away my show? They could get some Mexican in here to do this.
I really doubt that.
I know. They could get some Mexican for $2 an hour to come in here and do this show.
That would be fine, wouldn't it?
Now, Christy, let me ask you a question, honestly.
Uh-huh.
If we pushed all the Mexicans back to Mexico that are here illegally, how long do you believe it would take before we could fill all of those jobs, the farm working jobs, all of the jobs that they have in the ranching industry, farming industry, in the retail industry? How long do you think it would take to get a workforce mobilized?
See, I don't know how long it'd take, but like I do floor covering for a living, and the floor covering industry, the prices have stayed the same because now they're hiring illegals to do the job cheaper. So it's like ultra competitive, and we're not even getting paid what the job's worth because they're in here doing it for like way cheaper.
Well, that's good.
Which is great if you're a big corporation, but
it's
if you're
good
just
for
a
me
little guy trying to make a living.
Isn't it good for me, the homeowner? Plus, one time when I was scraping some asbestos off my ceiling, I got some Mexicans to do it, and they didn't have it checked by the environmental agency, so I got it done El Cheapo.
Oh, well, of course.
Yeah.
They don't care.
So I think it's marvelous. And, no, really.
I know. It just depends, really.
No, you're asking great questions, but it'll never happen. It'll never happen. You're not going to work at burrito on the Sea.
Well, no.
You're not going to sit there
double wrap. Here, here, but don't let any more in. Because I need to keep my job.
It does say something about this country, doesn't it?
Yep.
I mean, it says It says volumes about this nation. You can say what you want. People can talk about America being the biggest threat to world peace. We got people crawling under barbed wire, swimming across shark-infested seas. We got people who are willing to brave vigilante shotguns at the border so they can come here, live here, and breathe free.
America's not that bad.
Well, I mean, it's a great place. And so let's quit with all the bull crap and talk about this country for what it is. It's a fantastic nation, and I'm sorry that your floor covering business is going belly up, but I'm telling you right now, if it's between you and a Mexican, Christy, you know who wins.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. I you're right. Let's get them out of here.
Well, I don't know. I'm still a minority.
I don't like looking at them anymore.
Yeah, well.
I want white people and only whites. No, you got to come here legal, right? How do we do it? How do we keep them out? I don't know. A wall. Build a wall.
A big Great Wall of America. How about
the Great
that one?
Wall of America to keep people out. But then the propaganda will be this. See, America put up a wall, too, just like the communists. No, see, we're trying to keep people out. Oh, yeah, sure. You're trying to keep your people in. Whatever, dude.
Yeah, America's so trapped. I don't mind being trapped in America. Do you?
No, I would rather be trapped in America. Although I do like to get out every now and again. I do like to get out. I like to have myself a couple of bangers and mash over there in some pub in London, and then I like to climb over the Great Wall of China and have a little plum sauce and a dumpling, then maybe head on over there to Italy and sit by the Mediterranean and suck down one of those big, what do they call those things that are filled up? Calzone?
Huh? Yeah. You travel around the world, but you're going to want to come back to America.
Of course you do, but you got to get out to know what you got, and if you don't know what you got, you'll never get out.
Yep.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye. No, I don't want that music. I want the music. Jesus! Get it out of here. I point to him, he starts giving me bumper music. I understand that people are upset with the work situation. But obviously nobody's upset enough to make, to make a difference. Now, you know, who's going to be the first guy to round them up and send them back? You realize that we have individuals who make a hell of a lot of money in this country because they have those people working for them. If you want to know why the Mexicans are here and doing those jobs, don't blame the Mexicans. Blame the fat cat that hires them. Blame the big guy that hires them to save money on his overhead, to save money on his payroll. Blame another American. Blame the free enterprise system. Because that, my friends, is that. We'll be back with more bullcrap and you in just a moment here on The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
David G. Hall, who's the vice president of syndication for The Phil Hendry Show, was on our program yesterday saying that if they continued to critique and criticize Barbara Streisand and Tim Robbins and Goldie Hawn and the rest of them, that I could wind up dead.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Phil's voicing his opinion about something that he believes in, and you're going to get on here and say stupid stuff like he's going to end up upside down in a barn. Come on, man. Give me a break. Give me a break. Are you like ludicrous or what?
I drop acid, I watch Kendall, and I see the Teletubbies. What does that tell
you? Well, good. You know what? Why is it Teletubbies? You know, I don't care. It's amazing to listen to you talk the bull crap that you're talking. It is totally amazing. I'm laughing at you.
Oh, we are laughing at you.
You're laughing at me. Everybody in America.
You're laughing at me.
David,
everybody in America is laughing at you.
Because I'm trying to warn my host that if he opens his mouth the wrong way, Kurt Russell is coming after him.
I'm telling you, Phil,
are you still peeking?
Opinion more often.
I got to ask a question here. Are you still on acid?
I think he is.
Am I still on the, what?
On the acid. Are you still
on
it?
On acid?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I am.
He's coming down hard.
Yeah, you
he's coming down way hard, isn't he?
Did they cut that with...
And I've been drinking orange juice all day.
Well, you need to drink a lot more.
Dude, I think what you need to do is take some Valium or something, because the acid's made you paranoid.
You think so?
Yeah, yeah. When you're worried about Teletubbies while you're watching Yentl and that Goldie Hawn's going to get people, I think you are. You going to be all right?
Can you come over and sit with me?
Yeah, I'll come over, man.
Put me on a good trip?
Yeah.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Show them all the patterns in the dichondra. All right, Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. So anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, Liza Minnelli's show ain't going to hit the air because her husband, David Gist, is a neat freak. Because he was a pain in the ass, basically. See, Liza, who is, you know, she's a nice lady. Whatever. She dances and sings, and people like her. And she gets on Larry King, and she talks about her life. Now, she's fine. And she wanted a show, and she wanted to get on this VH1 and do one of those reality shows, like the Osbournes, like Anna Nicole Smith. This is all she wanted to do, but she married a pain in the ass, and now they don't have the show because they would rather film paint drying than her life with that pain in the ass David Gist and his 19 facelifts. What kind of argument are they having tonight? And guess what? And she's a nice, she'll be back on the bottle by 10 o'clock because of this guy. Yeah, all you wanted to do was help her out, protect her. She wanted to have a couple of laughs and have a TV show, but you got to stand there, you queen, with a vacuum cleaner while somebody is drilling a freaking hole in your wall. You make me angry. What do I care? Let's go over to Diana. Hi, Diana. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. Not to beat a dead horse about this immigration thing, but I think our problem can be solved just by quoting the comedian Jake Johansson. I went and saw him last year here in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and his idea to stop immigration was to basically dig a giant hole across the entire border of the United States between U.S. and Mexico and to just fill it up and just set everything on fire. And, you know, we could just hire people to control the fire. And when we think we see people trying to cross over, just turn up the gas a little bit and light them up.
Yeah, we were beating a dead horse, all right. How's Jake's career? Here's Richard on the Phil Hendry Show. Richard?
Hey.
How you doing, man?
Well, one, I wanted to make a comment about the France thing earlier.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
I know exactly what would happen if Al-Qaeda were to fly a plane into the Eiffel Tower. First, the arrogant bastards.
The skyline of France would be, if Paris would be improved.
Yeah, there you go.
And then second,
they would whine and complain about how it was our obligation to help them get Al Qaeda because they attacked them.
Yeah, that's right. They blame us for pissing off Al Qaeda so that they went and blew up the Eiffel Tower.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
So then they would say that we had to help them, and we would just have to turn around and say, and give them the finger right in their face.
Well, but if we do that, then they'll not cooperate with us in the U.N., and they'll stand there
and go,
well,
they're already not cooperating with us.
Yeah, I know. They're a pain in the ass every which way you look at it. Which they've been for many, many years. All right, thanks. And be sure to send your, never mind, I don't want to hear anything that you have to say. I just want you to send your money for that I Hate France t-shirt. Thanks so much for your call, sir. But here's the problem with France. If we went to help them, they'd want us to help them, but they wouldn't let us fly over their airspace to help them. Why are you not helping it? Because we can't fly over your airspace. Well, what's that got to do? What do you mean, what has it got to do with it? You won't let us fly over your airspace. That's right. We're not letting you fly over. We do want to use our airspace will not be used for your aggressive American military. And somehow it's worked. Somehow it's worked for them. These many decades, it's worked for the French. If you keep, you know, the French are like the world's Steve Bozell. They are. They're like the world's Steve Bozell. If you keep enough KY jelly in your cellar, it doesn't have to hurt. Doesn't have to hurt at all. And the French discovered this before anybody. Keep enough lube around, and it doesn't have to hurt at all. Just kind of grimace a little bit. You know, bend over, grab your knees, and just wait. It'll be over in a while, and then you can stay out of wars, and you can stay out of conflicts, and you don't have to stand on principle, unless, of course, you're standing with the Russians and everybody else against the big bad Americans, and you can offend people when they're in your country, and you can pretend like you're important, and all you have to do every now and again is grease up. We should have fed you to the Germans, is what we should have done. We should have fed you to the Germans. We should have said, we're going to take Normandy because that's where our guys are buried, and nobody's going to have that. That now belongs to, that isn't just France, that's American soil now, okay? So where Normandy is and where our guys are buried, that's now American, and the rest we're just feeding to Germany. We're just going to feed you right into the German meat grinder. How does it feel? Yeah, you are now Germany, okay? And you're going to speak German. So it looks like the French tongue is cooked. I hope you like tongue for dinner. Just feed them right into Germany, and then the Germans can have them. You know, for every now and again, a little recreation. Like I say, just keep a lot of that KY in the cellar. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Todd. Hello, Todd. Todd? Goodbye, Todd. Jose?
Yes.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for having me. And I just want to thank you very much, kindly, for talking about us like that. And Mexican, I've been here since 1987. And, you know, I first time I heard, you know, somebody talk about us like that. And I do appreciate it. And I just want to thank you.
Now, okay? Which burrito stand do you work at? I'm joking. What are you doing for a living here, Jose?
I'm a certified electromechanic. I do call alarms and the dealers.
Terrific.
Yeah, and but you know what?
Now what happens when you hear what happens when you hear this? Is that anything? It's pretty nice, isn't it?
Super excited.
It is good.
I pick fruit like everybody else.
Sure, yeah.
I wash dishes. I work like everybody else.
You did a lot of stuff, right?
I always try to do the best.
Right.
And be the best I can be. And, you know, here am I. I own a house.
I got no complaints with you, man. I got nothing. I got no complaints against you. Now, let me ask you, are you here illegally or legally? Or?
No, I'm a citizen now.
You're a citizen of the United States.
Yeah, I'm an American citizen. I'm very, very proud.
How could anybody have a problem with you then, right?
You have the KKK sometimes.
Well,
you know?
Those guys are dumbbell. Let me tell you something about the KKK. Since the only thing those guys do anymore is go bowling. That's it. They sit around and they get angry and they bowl.
Yeah, they give you the eyes.
All right, Jose.
You know?
Good
thank
job.
Thank you very
man.
Much, Ben. I appreciate
thank you, pal.
It.
All right, thanks for calling. All right, see you later. All right. What children? 1-800-449-8686. Our website, philhenryshow.com, is the place to be. If you want to know about the Phil Henry Show, see, you've been listening for the last hour, and you think you got the show figured out. Forget it. You haven't even begun to hear what this program can do and is capable of. Keep listening, and while you keep listening, and while you're kind of scratching your rear end and wondering, what the hell is this? Go to our website, philhenryshow.com. philhenryshow.com. You're going to get a pretty good idea. Get a backstage pass, because there's lots of fun stuff coming up, including our webcast, our second annual webcast, December the 20th. And I'm going to do a one-man version of A Christmas Carol. So that might be a real disaster. Check that out. You'll also see us prep the show December the 20th. Look at our recommended links. Oh, God, a whole lot of stuff. Get a backstage pass at philhenryshow.com.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now, Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Now, let me get up Dr. Jim Sadler. Dr. Sadler, you were talking to me a moment ago about the program that you have instituted, the National Council of Business Advertisers.
We need kids, Phil, to watch more television.
Why?
Because there are a lot of businesses that advertise on kids' programs, and they lose money if the kids don't watch, and I think it's a parent's place to encourage the kids, and I understand that there's a lot of parents who don't want the kids to watch much TV, but we do need for children to watch more television because, you know, it's a...
Well, why the parents don't want...
Well, we're between a rock and a hard place.
Well, the economy is bad, right, and you're talking about advertising dollars?
The economy is bad. The fact that if the kids are not watching, if not enough, let's cut to what we're talking about, Phil. We need children's programming to be in the home more often because there are advertisers And I'm going to list some of these people. And I want you to listen very carefully, because these are some of the most powerful people in American business. And I think if I actually list the names of these companies, your listeners are going to sit up and take notice and not engage in this indulgent talk about, oh, I want my kids to watch less television, and all of this conversation that we've heard so very much before, which, I, you know, some people think it's good. But just listen to this. PlaySchool, Hasbro, Nintendo, Parker Brothers, Mattel, Sony, Microsoft.
All right, well, what is the point of all of this? The point is that this is a...
The point is they spend a lot of money. And the point is that as our organization wants that message out there.
You're a doctor of psychology. How did you get involved with an advertising consortium?
I'm a consultant with the National Council of Business Advertisers because we want to enable business to access the home and to understand where parents and kids are. I know that most parents don't want their kids watching a lot of TV because they want to look like they're hands-on parents. Okay, so we say congratulations, you're a hands-on parent. And I've often said when I have discussions at schools, parents will stand up and say something, that, and a lot of the people listening right now, tell me if you're not this kind of parent. I don't want my children watching too much TV because I think it's bad for them. And then I go, hey. Nice job. That's really great. Okay, the Padre will punch your ticket on the way out. All right.
You're being cynical, but a lot of those people mean it.
No, that's so. Whether they mean it or not, our parent-child outreach is a unique and revolutionary way that myself and Dr. Robert Dreschen developed. What we do is we call homes and we ask how much television is your child watching. And what we like is around 5 hours a day. That's an hour before school.
5 hours a day.
5 hours a day.
That's a lot of TV.
You know...
I mean, how is it possible with all the homework the kids have that they're going to watch 5 hours of television a day?
It's tough. It's tough.
Yeah, it's tough. I got four kids of my own. When do they...
Well, we break it down. An hour before school, 2 hours after school, and 2 hours before bed.
There's no way that a kid can do that.
It is tough, but I know parents can work it out because the alternative is the advertising message from Hasbro and all of the people I mentioned doesn't get out. And you can get hurt, and a lot of your jobs are at stake. And your child, and I like to tell people to look at it existentially, your child in the overall picture really isn't as important as the economy moving forward. And,
well, you can't tell a parent that.
Well, I know I can't, but I do. And that's why my technique is, I think, rather revolutionary.
You tell parents your child is not as important as the economy, and parents are going to shut you off.
No, they don't. Because it's revolutionary to tell a parent, your kid, compared to the millions of dollars that gets pumped into the economy by advertising on television, is not as important. We need your kid watching more TV because we need that advertising message out there because there's people whose jobs depend on it, Phil.
All right, I'm talking with Dr. Jim Sadler with the National Council of Business Advertisers. He's a psychologist and a liaison between the business advertisers and the people out there. And you guys are I suppose you have some kind of a telemarketing service?
No, we don't have a telemarketing service. We have individuals that are outreach counselors, and they call homes at random, and they ask how much TV is being watched.
All right, I want to give our number out. Then I have a question for you about what happens when people disagree and they don't want the kids watching too much television.
Well, Phil...
No, hold on for a minute. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Dr. Jim Sadler, TV viewing among children... he feels must go up because there is an important element at stake. There's a lot of money going into advertising children's products, and if those products don't get advertised, a lot of jobs go south. Doctor, are you at an arcade?
I am, Phil.
Because I can hear...
Right. You're listening to some of the games the kids are playing. We do a lot of research here. I like to come here to relax, and it gives me actually, Phil, where I am right now is a game works in San Diego. And it gives me an opportunity to see what the kids are involved in.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. What happens when a parent disagrees with you and does not increase the TV viewing of their kids?
Well, that's a tough situation. It's also a chance. It's foolish, according to our research, and we're kind of tenacious. We're like a bulldog. We don't let go until you increase the...
Well, what happens if a family just doesn't want to increase to the 5 hours that you're asking for?
Well, then we ask them, are you sure? And if the answer is the same, then we say, we thank you, and at that point we record the number into a database that we call. We do give it to a variety of telemarketing firms and our own reconnection team. And what the reconnection team does, we reconnect on a daily basis by calling back and simply saying, get that viewing time up, and then we'll hang up. And this is to reinforce the message, or we'll say, do you know where your children are? And then we'll hang up. And
That sounds vaguely threatening to me.
No, Phil.
I mean, maybe I got a bias against telemarketing. That sounds vaguely threatening.
No, it's not threatening at all. And
do you know where your children are, and then you hang up?
That is a reinforcement message that helps people remember the kids need to watch TV. Do you know where your children are? Where they're outside playing, that's fine, but they got to get back inside, watch some TV. Or we will call up and say, you better watch some TV tonight, and then we hang up.
See, the part is you're hanging up, you know?
Well, we it's a reinforcement.
It sounds like somebody's threatening you with a crank phone call.
No. No, Phil.
Well, you say no, but if somebody calls my house and says, do you know where your children are, click.
No. It's not, you're being a little bit paranoid. I'm not that.
Well, it sounds that way.
No. It's not really. It's just... It is to reinforce the message.
And what if they're adamant and they say, I am not letting my child watch more TV?
Well, you know, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. If you're that stubborn and you're that, forgive me, ignorant, then your kid's going to grow up to be a stubborn, dumb, dull clod. And I don't think any parent...
So if I want to get the message of your organization is right, if I don't want my kid watching more than television, I'm a dumb, dull, ignorant clod.
No, I'm not saying that.
Well, you just said that if I don't want my kid watching more TV, you said the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree, my kid will be a dumb, dull, ignorant clod.
There's a chance that if you're very stubborn and you will not allow for your child to watch more television, that your child will become... a bit of a clod, yeah, a dull, just a dimwit who sort of, you know, people make fun of in the town. He can become the town dimwit. And so...
Wait a minute. You said the fruit... Does that mean that I'm a dimwit?
No. You're taking this all wrong, Phil.
How am I taking this wrong? You said that if I don't let my kid watch more TV, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree, meaning my kid will be a dumb... dull dimwit, as you put it. I wrote it down, the town dimwit.
That's right, because he becomes stubborn.
All right, is that like me?
No, it's not like you.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. There's some organizations like the National Council of Business Advertisers that want your kid to watch more television. And they want your kid to watch more television because, quite frankly, there's a lot of advertisers that depend on it. A lot of jobs are at stake. So which is it? Do you limit the TV viewing of your children, or do you keep people employed? Do you like somebody calling your house and saying, you better watch more TV? But more to the point, if you say, no, I don't want my kids watching more TV, would you approve of someone giving your home phone number to a telemarketer? I thought he sounded a little bit threatening. He said that I was... paranoid. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, The World Famous Phil Henry Show.
Henry. Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
So the message of the National Business Advertisers is what?
Well, the message, Phil, is the children of America need to watch more television.
Well, because the message has been kids need to watch less television, and parents want them to watch less television.
No. I know they want them to, but we need kids to watch more television because there are millions of dollars at stake. Advertisers, millions of dollars at stake, and we're going to be very tenacious. We're very tenacious. I think you'll find this very, very interesting. We have a lot of ways of contacting and staying in contact with a home because Dr. Dresham and I, for years, had worked on this at the University of Indiana. We are very tenacious. We stay with families. We keep on until they realize that they're not going to get away from us. And again, I think it's important to understand that your child could grow up to be a dim-witted idiot if he acts obstinate the way you do as a parent. I don't mean you, Phil.
No, you mean just parents in general.
Yes.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Kids need to watch more TV, not less. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Blaine. Blaine, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, sir.
To the gentleman of the advertising firm.
I'm Dr. Sadler, yes.
Based on your calculations, 5 hours a day, my children go to school plus homework consumes 9 to 10 hours of their day. 8 hours of sleep.
Oh, no. Homework consumes how much time, sir?
About an hour a day, hour and a half a day.
Okay, all right.
And that is improving their minds, as you're saying that TV is supposed to do.
No, I didn't really say the TV's going to improve the mind. I said
that... Wait a minute. You had said that if they didn't, they would become stupid.
Well, what I meant was...
If they don't become stupid, then obviously they must be improving their minds.
I think that the kid who doesn't watch more... In other words... If you don't let your children watch more TV, the child will grow up a little bit like you.
And well, then you're saying he's a dimwit.
No. I'm not saying he is. I'm saying the child can be the town idiot.
Become an idiot. So you're calling me an idiot.
I'm not calling you an idiot. I'm saying that
I own an $8 million firm that I pay taxes on every year.
You're not an idiot, no. But your obstinance, one generation removed, becomes dim-witted and clumsy.
Dim-witted and clumsy.
Yes,
so you're saying books and living it in the real life, experiencing things, not
right.
Experiencing through TV.
Exactly.
You would become.
So I said it would be tough to get 5 hours in a day, but that's where you, the parent, has to come up with that solution.
Well, I spend a lot of money in
so you need to. What are you going to do to get your child to watch more TV? That's the question.
What am I going to do?
Yes,
I'm
sir.
Not going to do anything to get my kids to watch more TV.
Well,
if I already watch an average of 3 hours a day, and that's too much.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Well, what does that mean?
I
think you're going to find
an employer services. What toy firm would back the virtues that you're talking about? Because
well,
I wouldn't want to buy that product.
Well,
you
know how tenacious a child can be, and I can guarantee, well, not guarantee, but you know that if your daughter came to you crying, please give me this, please give me this, you'll get it. And
who are the companies that you're working
for? They don't have to watch more TV.
Well, they do, in order to get all the advertising.
All the advertising.
And if you don't get them to watch more TV, then you're at the other end of a phone talking to our telemarketers. So it's really kind of a no-win situation.
I'm actually out traveling making money, sir, so just like you are.
Well,
and
then is your wife at home? Is your wife at home?
Well, you're basically saying here, Mr. Sadler, Dr. Sadler.
It's doctor.
Dr. Sadler.
Dr. Sadler, where'd you get your doctor's degree? And what is it in?
My doctorate degree, sir, is in... counseling and that.
One of those generic ones that you can't actually have a real profession.
All right, I tell you what, give me a phone number and I'll see if you're... Would you want me to call you? Or...
Why would I? You
don't
call me an idiot. That would be idiotic on my part to do.
You want to know
Why
something
would I
about...
Why you hounding me to watch more TV? I spend most of my time cutting guys like you off.
Excuse me, you wanted to know something about me. I was going to call you back with the information.
But you can't say it on the air?
What was your question?
I just want to know where you in Indiana?
Where did you study?
I studied in Indiana. Yes,
the University of Indiana. Gave you a doctor's degree in what you do.
In what I do, yes.
Man, that is, they'll do anything for a couple of
bucks. What do you do? What do you do?
What do I do?
Yes.
Right now I'm talking to you. I work with the National Council of Business Advertisers. Dr. Robert Dresham and I came up with a plan to contact homes.
What is your doctorate in?
It's in NA Science.
NA Science.
Well, what do you want?
My degree is
what do
in
you want?
I got a bachelor's in engineering and MBA.
Right.
From the University of Memphis. Why can't you say that over the phone?
Sir, I'm not bragging, all right? You want to brag.
No, it doesn't matter bragging.
You're bragging.
I'm going to ask you what your credentials are.
I gave you my credentials. I'm a doctor, and I'm from Indiana.
You're a doctor, and you're from Indiana. You know, the guy in The Wizard of Oz could have been a doctor, and he was from Indiana. That guy with the,
Who?
You know, the guy that had I don't know.
The science of advertising engineering.
If all I know, they've got web-based doctors now that you apply for.
No, sir. I can assure you, my doctorate was taken with the utmost of care.
With the utmost of care.
We have audio tapes that we use to fill up our answering machine tape.
All right. Blaine, thank you for your call.
All right, guys.
1-800-449-8686. What do you mean?
Well, I was going to say that if you do not answer your phone, we've got different sound effect tapes that we can fill up your answering machine with. So I think it would do you very, very well indeed. I think you'd be well advised to be home when we call so that we can talk to you about getting your kids to watch more television. Otherwise, you're going to come home to an answering machine with a tape filled up with the sound of a pig being gutted. And I don't think you're going to want...
Well, see, now that sounds like a violent threat.
No, sir, it is...
You put on an answering machine tape the sound of an animal being slaughtered.
It's sound effects to remind people...
To remind me what? I got to get these kids to watch more TV?
It's positive reinforcement, Mr. Henry. It's not negative.
I don't see that as positive. I don't see you putting a sound of a pig being gutted on my tape as positive.
No, it is positive reinforcement. We want the kids to watch more television because the advertisers need to get the message out. Don't ask me questions. What are you doing to get your kid to watch more TV? That guy's asking me about my doctorate in this and what's my education. That's none of his business. My business is to get you and your kids on the same page. Watch more TV. Believe me, it'll help the children.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Kids, do they need more TV? Well, apparently he says they do because they got to watch that advertising message.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Extreme Radio.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Dr. Jim Sadler with us. I just don't think that kids watching more TV is the answer.
Well, we have an advertising base in this country aimed at children. They advertise primarily on television. Kids not watching enough television means these companies will lose money. You talk about immigration. You talk about the Haitians, the Jamaicans, or the Bahamians, or what have you. This is an argument in favor of loosening the borders and allowing more immigration from Haiti, from Cayman, and from some of the lesser literate islands so that we can get more people into this country to hear the great message. This is a great message that these Hasbro and Nintendo, these are great messages and great stories. And if we can get more Haitians, more Jamaicans, more Africans, because these are the people who need to hear the very empowering messages of Hasbro and Parker Brothers and all of them. And so...
So you are saying we need to be liberal with immigration to get more kids into this country to watch television.
To watch television for a reason, Phil.
to get that advertising message out there. I saw these Haitians swarming all over that man's car. And I remember sort of closing my eyes and saying a prayer. And I was praying for them to be admitted into the country because I knew, you know, to you it's just a swarm of, you know, to somebody it's a swarm of jungle bunnies. And I don't say that...
All right, I don't want that terminology on my show, sir.
No, I'm sorry, I'm saying to a racist it is. But to me, this is an opportunity. An opportunity.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I'm going to go over here to Kate. Hello, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Kate?
Hello, yes.
Yeah, go ahead, dear. You're on the air.
Okay. Yeah, I had a couple questions. One, I was wondering, with obesity on the rise in the United States with children, what...
You got
how
a radio,
is this going
got a radio,
to help that?
You got a radio turned up, ma'am?
No.
Okay. Guys.
I'm sorry, I'm on a cell phone.
All right, so...
With obesity on the rise with children, and the correlation with sedentary activities, like watching TV...
I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't say kids had to eat. I said we want them to watch television.
Right, but they're not getting the exercise.
Well, that's up to you.
Okay. So it's up to me as a parent whether my children...
Right, and if you did your job, you wouldn't have a kid sitting around looking like that.
Right, but they would be sitting there watching TV.
No, they're going to watch television regardless. You need to get them to exercise the other 19 hours of the day.
Okay, so when they're in school, it's the PE teacher's job.
Exactly.
And when they're at home, maybe I should put a treadmill in front of the TV.
Maybe you should be more of a parent, that's all.
Well, yes, I am a parent, and that's why my children will not...
Get your kid up off of his can and exercise him. But we need...
Right.
I don't know. You're asking me this. I didn't come on this program to talk about exercise. So why don't you talk to a PE teacher
about
that?
And studies have been done.
You should talk to a PE teacher.
No,
well,
and studies have been done that there's a direct correlation with television watching and sedentary activities and obesity.
I don't know what that's got to do with me. So you're saying you have fat kids.
Because of the correlation with TV.
Yeah,
no, I'm not saying I have fat children.
Yeah, you're pretty much saying that you've got fat kids.
No, I don't have fat children.
All right.
Because my children don't watch 5 hours of TV at night.
Well, you're going to need to get the TV viewing up.
Okay, I have a question for you, too.
Asked the question. Now I'm telling you, get your TV viewing. Get the TV viewing up for your kids.
How many hours of TV do you watch at night?
And I have a question for you, all right?
Yes.
Did I answer your question?
All right.
No, you didn't. You seem to be talking in many circles.
No, I'm answering
You're not giving
questions.
A lot of answers.
How much TV do your kids watch?
My children watch bare minimum TV, unless it's an educational program.
Get it up. Get the TV viewing up.
All right, thanks, Kate. 1-800-449-8686. She brought up a point about obesity.
That's not my problem. That's not my problem. The problem is that...
All right, so you don't care whether the kids get fat and die of a heart attack.
No, I do care, but if we had better parents, that wouldn't happen. I'm telling them to get the kids... Look, today when I saw those Haitians, I said, thank you, God, because I know, you know, we all know that darker-skinned people watch more television than lighter-skinned people, and they procreate more. That means...
Yeah, okay. That means what? They're going to watch more TV and have more kids.
Look, Phil, the fact of the matter is, look at... We get more people watching TV, the advertising dollars. And a good example of what I was saying, I bet that lady's kids are so dull that they don't have enough television.
All right, here is Calvin on the Phil Henry Show. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
I just want to comment that does this... you talk about people being... your kids being dull or dumb and dim-witted. Does that mean they're going to be growing up to be more like you?
Oh, that's very funny. Did you have a comment, sir?
Yes, I had a comment. That is my comment, because you claim to be such an expert on this.
You could have said you're dull and dim-witted, but the fact is that your kids, by not watching television, simply will grow up to be the village dimwit, and it's not my kid, it's yours.
I'm going to disagree with you on this here, as far as that goes, because you're getting paid to go out here and put this line out for these companies. Am I correct?
Yes, of course I am. I don't
if you were paid by somebody else to say that that's not true, you'd be doing that. So basically this is a job for you.
Well, do you have a job?
Do you have a job?
We all do our
you
jobs.
You claim to be a doctor.
You have a job, all right?
Claim to be a doctor.
Every day, you go
your credentials.
House to house.
Go for your doctor from. Where did you get your doctor at?
How
did you get your education from?
You see what I'm saying?
You didn't answer my question.
No, you didn't answer my question.
You didn't answer mine.
No, you didn't answer mine.
I wasn't asking. You didn't ask me a question. I
was asking you a question. You didn't answer my question.
No.
Look at who are... Which guy was asking a question?
I was. Me first.
Well, you know what? No. These Haitians will do anything.
Will you forget the Haitians?
Who cares about the Haitians?
I do.
They're here illegally. They should go back.
No.
Period.
These people represent a marketplace. They represent a marketplace of people that will watch television, and the message will get out.
That sounds pretty racist to me.
Why? Well, how's that racist?
Those you're talking about, you're categorizing a group of people according to, what color their skin is.
Would you deny
that's
that
a racist comment?
No. Would you deny that white men bowl more?
I don't bowl.
Well, but you know that white guys bowl more than black guys do, don't you?
No, I don't know that.
Well, it's true because we've done research.
Okay.
All right.
Now, my question.
Is that racist?
You claim to be a doctor.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Where are you a doctor from? Prove your credentials. If you're going to claim to be one,
originally
you have
from,
to prove yourself.
I'm originally.
You can't go around calling yourself a doctor
I am
without
a doctor,
being
sir.
Able to prove it, because that's considered practicing without a license,
no,
which
sir.
Is illegal.
No, I am a doctor, sir.
Okay, where at? Where from?
I'm from Reno, Nevada.
Okay, where did you get your medical license?
I didn't ask you, where did you get your medical license?
Where did I
what
get
school?
My medical license?
You claim to be a doctor?
Yes.
A doctor of what?
A doctor of science.
So, what kind of science?
Of science that has to do with advertising.
That's not a doctorate.
What kind of
that's
doctorate?
That's not a science degree.
I got my doctorate in the science of advertising.
That's not a doctorate degree.
It's a part, well, I did study oceanography. Technically, I got it in oceanography.
All right, so now
okay.
You're telling us.
So, you know all about marine life, but you know diddly squat about advertising.
Okay.
Correct?
All right. Okay.
Wait a minute. I've had you on this program, and you're a doctor of oceanography.
The point I'm trying...
Isn't that right, sir?
Yeah, technically, yes.
So, for 45 minutes, you've been on my show talking about television advertising, about children's TV viewing...
I won't be laughed at, Mr. Henry.
From television advertising...
I'm laughing at
viewing,
you. He's not.
Television advertising and TV viewing, and you're a doctor of oceanography.
I took it at the Scripps Institute near San Diego.
Well, why aren't
well,
you
what,
out there?
What, can I ask
go
a question
out and
now?
Map an ocean bottom or something, then. Don't tell me about TV advertising.
Mr. Henry.
Look, at Haitians will watch...
Where does the school in Indiana come in from?
Where did you go to school in Indiana?
I never said I went to school in Indiana.
That's not what you call the mail... The mail
well,
call
I know, you're right. I did say that I went to school in Indiana, but I didn't say I went to the University of Indiana.
All right, look. You said that Haitians will watch all the great reruns from the 70s. Is that right?
That is correct.
Like what?
Haitians will watch shows like What's Happening and Soul Train and Pam Grier, anything with Pam Grier in it. I went to grade school in Indiana. Was that what you were asking me?
No, you said you went
all
to
right.
school in Indiana. That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, I went to grade school. I went to elementary school.
That says enough right there. You went to grade school in Indiana.
Yes, sir.
See, you have been on this program for 45 minutes full of crap.
No, sir, I'm not.
Yes, you are. And you somehow tied in the immigration issue into this.
By saying that Haitians make better viewers of...
Of Pam Grier movies.
Yes, sir.
Not only is he a fraud in what he's claiming to be, he's also a racist.
Well, I don't see how that's racist when I can prove to you that white men are more likely to be serial murderers than black men. Is that racist? No. Also, I can prove that white men are more likely to join the Ku Klux Klan than black men. Is that racist? No. So how is it racist for me to say that a Haitian is more likely to watch a What's Happening rerun and my partner is Haitian, Dr. Robert Dresson? So.
Bull crap. 1-800-449-8686. Haitians are more likely to watch Pam Grier movies.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Extreme Radio. Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
So anyway, did the Lakers start their regular season last night? I think they did, because they had a banner raising, and Chick Hearn wasn't on the air. And I was thinking about this because I didn't know I was that old. I mean, I listened to this guy when I was a kid. So in other words, my entire life I've been listening to the same guy doing basketball. And when Scully goes, it'll be the same thing with baseball. You know, so that doesn't tell me how old Hearn is. That tells me how old I am. That a guy had a whole career from the time I was, I can't even remember how old I was when I first started listening to Chick Hearn doing basketball games, to basically now. I'm 50. That's how long the guy's been employed by the same company. Or was. That's how long Hearn was employed by the same company. From the time that I was 8 until now. That's a hell of a career, don't you think? Or am I wrong? If I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. Tell me to shut up and move on. I would love to have a gig that long. I ain't worked anywhere. I haven't, you know, never mind. I haven't owned, I've got shirts that old, something like that. All right, 1-800-449-8686. My wife's out of town. She's off visiting her mother, so I have the kids with me. And I kind of like it because I let them fend for themselves, and then I come, you know, into the house, I guess, whenever I get home, and there's pizza all over the carpeting and stuff. It's kind of cool. It's a great thing. It's a freeing thing for them. They can watch as much television as they want. They get to play with the electric knife. It's a gas. My daughter, no, actually, my daughter wants a cat, and I put a thing up here in the food room here at the radio station. I said, wanted, we want a kitten. Would you please call me if you have a kitten? And, of course, you know, what are the odds somebody will have a kitten? And like a cop, kittens are always there when you don't need them. Just like cops, kittens are everywhere when you don't need them. And when you need a kitten, you can't find one. So how many times you walk into a room and you see on the billboard or on one of those bulletin boards, we have kittens. We got a whole slew of kittens. Would you like one? Call Mindy at extension 93. Now I need a kitten, I don't see anything. And my wife actually said, go on the air and ask for one. And I said, yeah, right.
Hi, Phil, I'm calling from Memphis.
Okay, well, why don't you meet me at the corner of T.O. Boulevard? And I tell you what, FedEx the cat, and I think that that'll work. So we borrowed a cat from the next-door neighbor to see how that works, and it's a 9-year-old cat, and it's okay, but a 9-year-old cat hides under beds. That's all it does. A cat that's that old, it hides under the bed, and it comes out long enough to crap in a box and goes back under the bed. It doesn't do anything. And there are some cats that'll do stuff, and I want to get a cat that's real small, kitten-like, and I can train it to do things. Train it to fetch, train it to flush toilets, train it to do all that crap that that cat in that movie Meet the Parents was able to do. Flush toilets and everything. So I told Catherine, I said, look, we'll find a cat for you. It'll be a kitten, but you got to get rid of that old thing and get it out of here. So she's got to take it back tonight. And when I put her to bed last night, her bedroom smells like cat dung. And I said, how can you stand it? She goes, oh, I'm used to it. Well, boy, oh, boy. Clean that cat box out or something. Are you into dogs? I dig them. I can't have them. Here's the reason why I won't have a dog in my house, because I can't take care of it all the time. I got to rely on the kids to take care of it. And the way they're taking care of these cats, there's no way I'll let a dog in. I got to tell them to clean up cat boxes. So what do you think it's going to be like when I walk out back and I'm stepping in dog crap everywhere? And feed them and water them and bathe them and everything else. So it's not going to happen. Maybe I'm ruthless. Maybe I'm a mean dad. There's no way on earth we're getting a dog if they can't even take care of a hamster. When she had that rat, that poor rat, Cutie the rat, man, he croaked one night. Poor old Cutie lived in a crap can cage. She never cleaned out the crap cage. And old Cutie, and we would always run it out of rat food, so I was the guy feeding him. I'd feed him whatever the hell rats eat. You know, whatever, like grapes. Cutie was into eating grapes. And then one day, Catherine was off. She was, you know, visiting somewhere. She was off enjoying her young life, you know, in Barbados. She was off in France. She was in France talking with those cats over there about what are we going to do about Henry in the United States. And I walked in and Cutie was stretched out dead as a doornail in that cage. Just stretched out, looking like, for all the world, croaked. So I picked him up. I carried him outside, dug a hole, threw him in, shoveled in the dirt, put a little marker there. Here lies Cutie. Dead. And then I peed on it. Turned around, walked back in the house, got another beer. I'm kidding. I didn't get another beer. Hey, our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com, is chock full of exciting things. If you go to our website, you're going to see that we're featuring a free weekend, the 22nd to the 24th. If you'd like to know what's on our website in terms of our audio archives and our webcast archives and our Listen Live line, if you want to sample our Comedy Gold Archive, the greatest radio comedy anywhere, it'll be free November 22nd to the 24th. Listen down through the years to all the bits we've done on the Phil Hendry Show. The 22nd through the 24th, it is a free weekend. You won't have to have a backstage pass. Listen, sample. If you like it, you can pick up a backstage pass. It's only $6.95 a month. That's the next best thing for it to being free. But anyway, check out that free weekend, the 22nd through the 24th at philhenryshow.com.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Extreme Radio. And now, Phil Hendry.
My guest is Rudy Canoza. Rudy is the owner of Jetem Lingerie out on Ventura Boulevard in the Valley in Los Angeles. And you will walk up to women. You in the store right now, Rudy?
I'm in the store. It's going to close in about a half an hour, Phil, but I've got time to speak.
And it's good to have you with us.
It is good to be with you.
All right. Now, you reserve the right to slap food out of women's hands?
Let me go to the beginning. For me, because I've been in the lingerie business, I've been in women's clothing business for a long time. I used to seeing women who are trim and women who are fit into lingerie. Lingerie is a very specific kind of clothing.
Right.
And as such, lingerie only looks good on a woman if she is the right body type, a right kind of sculpted figure.
Okay.
Over the years, I have seen a great many women who are not right for this kind of clothing. I have seen women who have not taken care of themselves. And I have gone to them and said, you should not eat so much.
Okay. But where does the slapping the food out come in?
The slapping the food out come in, I was engaged to a young woman in Argentina, and this was in my hometown. I come from a town south of Argentina called La Plata, and she was beautiful. I loved her. This was 15 years ago, and this young lady suddenly began to put on the weight, and I had to leave her, and it broke my heart to leave her. But she had put on weight. She
how much did she weigh?
She weighed about 155 pounds.
155?
155, yes. And it broke my heart to leave her. But I came to America, and I remember the day that I left her in our town. And this past Saturday was the anniversary of our breaking up.
Yeah.
So this lady comes into our store for our Halloween sale, and I've got Halloween candy at the front door. And I saw this woman who was not skinny. She was
fat?
She was too much weight, yes.
Too much weight?
Too much weight. And I saw her reach for the Halloween candy, and I went over, and I slapped the candy out of her hand. And you know something? Her husband came over.
Now, you struck this customer on her hand and knocked the candy out of her hand.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, you say her husband came over.
Her husband came over, and of course he was angry. I said to him, my friend, I did you a favor. I said, you look at this woman. I said, if you had done more of this. Now, you understand, American men are easy to talk to. Argentinian men, South American men, Latin men will give you an argument. They'll get very confrontational with you.
Okay.
But these American men will listen to you. They tilt their head and listen to you. I said, my friend, I did you a favor. Because what I did was, this woman, she does not need more of this fattening food like candy. And I slapped it out of her hand. And I'll tell you something, Phil, that this man, he left, and he said, thank you. And he left with his wife. His wife left the store. I did not allow her into the store.
And now, why did you allow her in the store?
Because there was no need for her to be in the store. She was not her body type.
Is it to say she wouldn't look good in your lingerie?
No, you can't wear the lingerie if you look like that. You can't wear lingerie if you look like that. So I slapped the candy from her hand. I said, you take her home. And you remember what I said. And he said, thank you, my friend. He was laughing.
You slapped the guy's wife?
But I slapped her on the hand.
Well, I mean, you slap a woman on the hand.
I slapped her on the hand to knock her food away. But you see, this is something that I have done periodically since we moved into this mall. This is the La Plata Mall in San Fernando County. We moved to this mall 5 years ago. When I go into the food court in the mall,
right,
and I see these women, they're eating, they shouldn't eat too much because they're fat.
Okay.
I go over and get out of there. I slap it right out of their hands. I saw a woman, both hands, lifting a pork chop because he's over here at the barbecue.
Okay, and you slapped the pork chop out of her hand.
I slapped it out of her hand. I went over to her and I said, don't you eat that. I slapped it down to the plate. I said, don't you eat that. I said, you take the weight off, you come to see Rudy.
Come on into the store and get some lingerie.
You come into the store and get some lingerie, yeah.
Well, let me say this. I don't think I'd feel good about you slapping something out of my wife's hands, all right?
I'm not, this is not abuse. You think that's...
Well, I mean...
But if you... I'm from Argentina.
I know. I've known you for a lot of years. You're a great businessman.
And I know for the woman, she wants to be everything for her man. How can a woman be? And you know, in Argentina, as to express how we feel about a woman, we'll say she's la 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 la. You know, which is...
I know, that is kind of a sexual come-on.
No, it's not sexual. It's to express how beautiful she is. But if she has a pork chop, and the woman is with the pork chop, and for every day and every night, for her breakfast, for her dinner, the pork chop with bacon, this pork here, this bacon, she will never be la-la-la-la-la. She will always be someone that I wish to slap the food from the hand. Not that I will not allow it.
Well, Rudy, this is another...
Well, American men need so much help with their women. American men, seriously...
What do we need help with? Let me give our phone number out, okay?
No, what's your name?
Let me give our phone number out, Rudy. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Rudy Canoza is the owner of... what's the name of your... It's Je T'aime, right?
Je T'aime is French for I love you. Is that beautiful?
All right. And it's over on Ventura Boulevard?
In Ventura.
If he sees a woman walking into the store...
Not just to walk in the store.
All right. Anywhere you see a woman who looks overweight and has the potential of being beautiful, and she's eating, you'll slap the food out of her hands.
I will slap the food from her hands. Now, I want to tell you something.
And the men don't get angry.
The American men love to think they're going to protect their woman, but I talk to them, and I tell them, my friend, I am doing you a favor because you don't want to live with something that is not attractive. And someday she'll bring her into Je T'aime lingerie. You buy her some Je T'aime lingerie, and you will be proud of the day that Rudy slapped the pork chop from her hand. Because I always remember the day.
You mentioned the lady that you split up with.
The lady I split up, and her name was Mirabelle. It's a beautiful name.
Yeah. Where are you, Rudy?
I'm out to the street here now. You'll be able to move the store to the front of the mall.
Okay. And so you were married to Maribel.
No.
You were engaged to her.
I was engaged to Maribel. And, Phil, I will tell you, I wish that when I was a young man, I was engaged to this woman, that when I saw Maribel, and she loved that chimichanga, you know, and she loved that burrito. No, it's the Argentinian burrito. It's different, but fried plantain. And she lifted the pork chop up to her lips. I wish I would have gone, you get that out of there. Just like that.
And slap it away.
Slap it away. American men have not got a clue about control, and controlling the woman to keep the pork chop from the lips is the single most, not the most important, but it's important to keep the pork away from the mouth of the woman you love, and someday you bring her into Jetem for her lingerie. But she lifts that thing up to her mouth. I saw a lady over here, I said, you get the french fries out of there, because she was trying to eat the french fry.
Isn't it her business?
Huh?
Isn't it her business if she wants to eat a french fry?
A woman, Phil, I tell you something.
Now, you're going to tell me that women secretly want you?
Women do, they do.
They secretly want you to dominate them.
No, women want you to be their lover. They want you to be their father. They want you to be their brother. They want you to, if you know the way to beauty, both inner and out, they'll listen to you. For the woman, Phil, wants to someday become la 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 la. That's what she wants.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Rudy Canoza from Jetem Lingerie. 1-800-449-8686. Let's talk to Virginia. Hello, Virginia. You're on The Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. Listen, let me tell you something. Je ne t'aime pas, that fellow.
I'm sorry.
Who do you think you are? Are you diamond studded or something that everybody has to measure up to your expectations of womanhood?
It's not that my expectation.
Oh, baloney. Listen, you ever came into my place and you ever struck anything out of my hand, honey, you'd be on the floor in a headlock.
I didn't say I'm coming into your house. I said you're coming into my store.
I didn't say house anywhere. You have no business talking like
you have no
You're
business.
From the Middle Ages.
You know that you want to look good.
You are
for
from
your
the
man.
Middle. We can look as good as we want any way we want. We don't need you telling us nothing. You keep your paws off people's pork chops because the pork chop is you because you're the pig.
All right, can he say something, Virginia, or are you going to keep talking?
What? Him?
Yeah,
he said
he'd like to say something. Go ahead.
Thank you, Phil.
That's all right.
Virginia, if you want to be fat, be fat.
Oh, who said I'm fat?
You did. Yes,
no, you don't do you're things like that to
you're
women,
what
buddy.
We call a hillbilly butter hog. And if I see you lift something to your mouth, I will slap it out of your head. What are you going to do about it?
I'd put you in a headlock, buddy.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, I would.
You're some broad.
Well,
you're a broad, okay?
You're from the Middle Ages.
I may be from the Middle Ages.
You're from the Middle Ages. We don't
you
have to measure up to any kind of thing any Argentinian wants to tell us to be.
The men want you
so
to be.
So go back
way.
There and be
the
that way. Don't do that way in North America.
North America? Where are you from?
North America.
No, are you American?
Yes.
No,
I'm Canadian. What are you talking
you're
about?
Canadian.
I'm North American.
So how dare you call an American radio show? Go back to Canada and listen to that crap up there. Get out of here.
We are listening to you in
Canada. Wait a minute. We're on it.
No, she can't listen to you.
No, we're listening to you in Canada.
I'm on in Canada.
I don't care. So you can't listen anymore. Go.
Oh, God.
Go and suck on the bone of a pork chop. Go ahead.
Phil, this guy is so out of it.
Go suck some butter from the bottom of a pork chop.
Okay, thanks.
What a pig.
All right. Go suck the bone of a pork chop. All right, look, if this is going to be contentious, Rudy is on tonight to talk about women and weight, and the fact is he has been known to walk up to a woman and slap food out of her hand if he thinks the woman is overweight. Now, he does own a lingerie shop. He has clothed some of Hollywood's most beautiful actresses, and he probably knows more about, you know, clothing beautiful women than most of us. And he basically says that the best thing you can do for your woman, if she's eating too much, if she's beginning to balloon out a little bit, if she's maxing out at a high weight, slap the food right out of her hand if you have to. You know, dieting is a difficult thing. And sometimes the people who diet in our lives need help. And sometimes they waver. And sometimes they go off their diet. If it'll save their life, if it'll save their diet, shouldn't you just walk up to them and slap the food literally from their hands? 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, the number here on The Phil Hendry Show, or is it none of his business? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Back with Rudy Canoza, owner of Jetem Lingerie. I no police officers would say, Rudy, when you slap food out of somebody's hands, even if it's a woman who needs to lose weight, it's assault. Rudy, are you there?
I'm saying to you this. If you want to call that assault and battery, do you know the damage that you do? Because you could put me in jail. But I have identified for you the primary problem of your woman. And I said to you that my heart was broken so many years ago when my fiancée Mirabelle, I should have slapped the cake from her mouth. I should have slapped the pie from her hand. I should have slapped so many crullers from her hand. And there were times I could have slapped a chocolate cake donut from her hand. Times I could have slapped a ham sandwich from her hand. I never did. And I live in loneliness today because I miss her so much. Because when she was a slender woman, she was the la-la-la-la-la, but she's no more.
And well, maybe she's lost the weight.
Well, I've seen pictures of her. And, in fact, buddy, you hear that? That's what we play. You know we do that when they come through the door.
I understand that. All right, 1-800-449-8686. You still got the Halloween candy, right?
Yeah, the Halloween candy for this Halloween sale is going through this weekend.
All right. And we're Rudy's at his store on Ventura Boulevard. Dolores, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, yes. I've been listening to the little conversation. You know...
How much do you weigh?
How much do I weigh? I weigh 210 and I'm 5'6¾".
Right. You know that you're obese. You know that you're obese, right?
Right, but okay. If you was to walk up to me and you take and slap my hand and with
you
food
don't
going
need,
to my mouth,
you don't need any more food.
I'd get you so
don't,
fast
you
wouldn't know what
need
hit you.
Any more food, Dolores.
I need it, but I'll tell you what. If it wasn't for man, I wouldn't be in the position I am.
You're not, what are you talking about?
Hey.
A man made you fat?
Women carry the weight of the world on their shoulders. You men, they thank you.
Dolores, you carry the weight of the world on your ass. That's where you carry the weight of the world.
Well, you just think about that the next time you walk up to a woman and
you
knock food out of her hand and she knocks you on your ass.
It's never happened. And it's never going to happen.
Too bad.
It's never happened. It's never going to happen.
That's because men have intimidated them so bad.
It's not going to start with
you. But they don't dare fight back.
Do you tell me? You tell me that some 5'6", 250-pound bowling ball is going to do something to me. I am Rudy Canoza. You will not do this to Rudy.
And I'm Dolores, and I probably knock more on their cans than
you. You're not going to knock
have.
Anybody on your can. I will slap the greasy chicken from your hands, and you
not
will thank me
lifetime.
For it.
Not in your lifetime.
Yes, in my
lifetime.
Where are you? What city are you in?
That's my business.
What are you,
afraid?
Oh, so you're chicken, huh?
You're
not just
right
eating. You're not just eating chicken.
You
are chicken.
You know, you're our problem.
Had a man slapped hundreds of pork chops from your hands, maybe you could enjoy a little bang bang, if you know what I mean. And
will you please talk with a little respect here?
Okay, look at this. Here comes one. Dolores, listen to this. A lady's coming into the store now. There. Now she's going for the candy. Here we go. That is the signal that a fat woman. Better watch this. Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
What is he doing?
I just slapped the crap out of that broad's hand.
You need to be arrested.
You know something? Dolores, if I slapped you, I'd probably get a free trip to Hawaii from the bounce.
All right. Thank you very much, Dolores. 1-800-449-8686. Did you just slap food out of that woman's hand?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Is she out of the store? She's out of the store.
Well, she could go get a cop.
No, they're not going to get a cop. They're not going to get a cop. Because let me tell you something, Phil. Look at that. Here comes another one.
Okay, Rudy, are you going to talk to me?
Hold on. This won't take long. How you doing today? Want some candy?
Yeah.
Yeah, just get out of here.
Well, you're asking them if they want candy.
Yeah, because what happens is these women, they, oh, wouldn't I like, you see their big ass go up to the candy, then I slap it out.
You're asking them if they want candy?
Yes.
Then you slap it out of their hand?
Yes.
Well, what's that, for some kind of a kick?
It's for, you know, I can't believe it. There's not one of these women who say, no, thank you, I'm on a diet. Not a one of them would say that.
You're striking women.
You're GD right. That was another one. Look at this. Hi. How about a nice thick nougat? Do my, go ahead, grab it. Yeah.
What are they doing?
They're leaving. Look at that. Look at her with the Kit Kat. Jesus.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Should women be subjected to having food slapped out of their hands if they're overweight? You're listening to the...
Sorry.
You're listening to the Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Rudy Canoza, owner of Jetem Lingerie in the San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles, joins us. And Rudy's at the store right now. You got a car alarm going there, Rudy. You got a car alarm going there, buddy, huh?
It's outside of the parking lot right now.
Okay. And you have said that you have slapped food literally out of women's hands that you thought were overweight.
That is correct. Yes, but yeah, I have to.
Okay, but you did that, and you wish you would have done it to your fiancée because you were in love with her.
I was very much in love with Mirabelle, yes.
Now, before we came back, you said that you have slapped out of women's hands at least 6 tons worth of food. Is that right?
I will tell you this, Phil. I think I've at least a buffet to feed a wedding party of 800 to 900 people. I have slapped out of their hands. And I will do it again because I will say this to you. A man, if he wishes his woman to look good, it's the lingerie, it's a thong, a demi cup, or the different things we sell, and it means for Rudy to slap the food from their hands, believe me, you will thank me because your woman will be la 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 la. Your woman will be that good.
Now, you got to explain. I've known you for a few years. When you go la la la,
that is a Latin man's expression of the sexuality and sensuality of a woman. And I will gladly go across America and all over the world and slap food after food, pork chop after pork chop, stuffed eclair and cream d'eclair after cream d'eclair, out of the hands of the women of the world. If you could make every single woman in the world today la la la, and they could come into Rudy's Jetem Lingerie and never hear. They would never hear that sound. Look at it, here comes another one. How are you? You want to say something?
Rudy, you're baiting them.
Hold on. You want some candy? Yes. Yeah. You see that? There she goes.
You're hitting women, Rudy, and you're going to get in trouble.
No, I have a right to slap the food from their hand.
You don't say, hi, how are you? Would you like some candy?
No, but they're pigs. They're pigs. They're nothing but pigs.
All right, let me take a call. 1-800-449-8686. Lori, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi, Lori.
How are you?
Fine.
Good. First of all, I'll start off the conversation letting you know that I'm 5'3" tall. I weigh 116 pounds. I'm 52 years old. I have blonde hair and blue eyes. And for 52... I don't know if I'm la, la, la.
Well, you know, let me say to you, Lori, how do you know what you, is a man in love with you? Is a man in love with you?
Pardon me?
Is there a man in love with you?
No, I'm divorced, so explain that.
Ah, so you see.
No,
you
so
think
you
are la-la-la, but
you... Let me tell you something.
Yes.
Let me tell you something, and I demand respect that you listen.
I will listen
okay?
to you, Laurie, but you have to
thank
listen to
so
me,
much.
Too.
Yes, I will.
And you
thank
know you're
you
not
so
la-la-la, because
thank
no
so
man...
Much.
Will you be quiet, Rudy, and let the lady talk?
Okay.
I would like to tell you that
yeah?
I don't believe I
How
have ever,
clear?
Ever... Oh, that's rude.
Boy, can you believe that? Did you hit another one?
No, I did not.
Okay.
Go ahead, Lori.
I would like to tell you that I don't believe I have ever heard such blatant disrespect for females in my life. Your name is not God, spelled G-O-D, and you have no right whatsoever to tell anyone how to live their life. Let me tell you one thing.
You can't have the food, so you are like a big pig.
Pardon me.
You heard the woman, she was like a pig.
Let the lady finish, Rudy.
You know what?
But she was
women are not pigs.
She,
women are precious.
What? Precious? She was 5'6", 250 pounds. She was a pig.
Who?
The lady who just spoke with me on the phone. I don't know.
Have you met that woman? Do you know what's in her heart? Do you know how kind she could be?
Real sexy.
You know what?
Oh, God, Rudy. I mean, there is such a thing as kindness and beauty inside. You ever heard the saying, beauty's only skin deep?
Oh, okay.
And let me tell you something.
Hey.
Rudy?
Is
Rudy?
That's marvelous. Beauty's
Rudy?
Only... Yes.
Let me tell you something. Maribel got the best end of the deal because she didn't have to live with you for the rest of her life.
She
and
is
let
not
me tell
in Argentina.
You,
she's a pig. She's a pig in Argentina.
And she's a lucky pig because she doesn't have to have you as a hog.
If I'd slapped the pork chop from her hand, she would be with me today.
And God bless her. I'm glad she made the decision not to be with you.
Well, Rudy, the lady's got a point.
And let me ask you something, Mr. Henry. Since when are you Dr. Phil McGraw?
I'm not Dr. Phil McGraw.
Let me tell you,
you're
he's
coming
better
on
than
like
Mr.
you're
Mr. Phil.
What? What?
He would be better Mr. Phil than you would God.
Whatever. What?
How
many minutes has it been since the last pork chop inhalation for you? Did you even wait for the pig to die? These are the questions that I ask myself when I see a woman of who is weight.
You know,
if I saw a woman of your stature in my shop...
You sound like you're the type of guy that likes gerbils. How about that?
You are calling me queer?
Well, I'm not sure. Does the shoe fit?
Woohoo! I'm a gay boy. I'm a gay boy.
Well, I hear they really get into spanking.
Really? Let me tell you, Laurie, for a woman of class and substance, you know more about anal sex than any man I've ever met. And
no,
I find that
no,
suspicious.
Quite the contrary.
I find that suspicious.
Quite the contrary,
and I will
sir.
Tell you that if I were your husband, I would slap the pork chop from your hand. But no man is in love with you.
Look, she just had a divorce. The lady is between men, if you will. What's that got to do with anything?
If a woman is not loved, she is not a woman.
Well, that's bullcrap.
I have to be very careful that I don't run into one like you, okay?
How many times have you bent over to scrape the gum off the table? Don't have an answer for that.
All right, look, thanks a lot, Lori. 1-800-449-8686. Tina, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Rudy Canoza.
Hi.
Hi, hon.
I just wanted to know how much Rudy weighs and how he looks. Because he's still alone, right?
I am a man. And as a man, I am very unrugged. I'm very rugged.
You're rugged.
Let me describe myself to you, Tina, so you know that I am not a man who takes lightly his appearance.
Okay.
I am 6'1".
Mm-hmm.
I am 230 pounds, but very sexy. No, hold on. Very sexy. I wear very tight white vinyl slacks.
Oh. So basically you look like a gigolo.
Wait a second. Are you making fun of that?
White vinyl slacks. I've never...
Let me tell you something, my friend. I am a 100% USDA Grade A Choice top sirloin.
Well, let me.
I wear Calizo
something.
Boots and an ascot.
An ascot with your vinyl pants. Mm. This is high class fashion.
You know something? I don't know what you look like. For all I know, you look like you have inhaled a pork chop or two in your life.
Actually, you don't know what I look like, and you wouldn't be able to take my word for it. So I'm sure.
Go
it
ahead.
Doesn't matter.
Tell me what you look like.
I'm 5'5", and I weigh 110 pounds.
Yeah, I just had to slap another one away.
Do you slap men, too? Because women don't like fat men. I certainly wouldn't take someone who's as heavy as you are.
Women don't like fat men? Ask Mr. Hendry. Mr. Hendry, does your wife love you?
Well, as a matter of fact, what do you mean, does my wife love me?
Well, you're fat.
I'm not fat. I'm a little overweight.
But his wife loves
him. If we're going to be totally superficial, you're overweight, too, Rudy.
You know what, Tina? What I would do for you, if you live with me, I would slap this sausage out of your hand.
I'm not overweight.
And I would put it up your...
Okay, all right. Okay, this is, Rudy.
What you doing?
I'm hanging up on the women.
Well, I'm busy anyway. Go ahead. I'm really busy. They're putting...
Put a lid on the Halloween candy.
Here comes another one.
See ya. Leave them alone!
Hey, that does it.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Extreme Radio. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I did the voice of Rudy Canosa in that preceding bit, and the women who called to talk to Rudy were all real callers, thought he was a real guy, some amused, some bemused, but all believing him to be real. And in the last hour, I did the voice of Dr. Jim Sadler. That's the Phil Hendry Show. That's what we do, much of what we do. And if you don't get it, keep listening. And if you think it's easy, keep listening. If you think other guys have done it before, keep listening. Because you're listening to a radio show that, for better or for worse, for whatever reason, I just stumbled into it about 12 years ago. It's the most unique radio show, certainly in talk radio and probably on the planet, in any kind of radio. And I just sort of fell into it 12 years ago without any food, money, clothing. I had drifted in from Haiti. I was running onto a causeway, and I said, I know what I'll do. I'll do fake voices. And I ran over to WIOD Miami, got a gig, and here I am. Now, speaking of Miami, before we get back to the causeway and the Haitians on the causeway, and I was right when I started the show, the guy in the pickup truck was being very cool with them. He said, first I thought, no, I'm not letting these people in. Then it just happened. And I said, okay, get in. And I let six or seven in, and then more were trying to get in, and maybe another five were trying to squeeze in, and I had to cut them off, he said. The man in the pickup truck on the causeway. So did those people know what they were dealing with when all of those cats just ran up onto the causeway or not? Funny thing about Miami, the drivers, this is probably not really on point, but here's the funny thing about living in Miami, as I did for 3 years. It's a great town, and I had a great deal of fun there, but I have to tell you, the driving down there is probably worse than any city that you can think of, and I'm being very serious right now. New York... a possible exception. Miami is like an extension of New York in that way. There's no signaling. There ain't no nothing, man. Everybody is just going haywire. The driving is really lousy, so there's no signals. People speed, or they go too slow. They change lanes abruptly. There's reckless driving. But dig this. When it rains, when it rains in Miami, it comes down like it's the end of the world. Every one of those cats puts their amber blinkers on. So in other words, let's not use our signals, let's speed, let's drive like complete and utter imbeciles, but when it rains, make sure you put those amber caution lights on as you're driving like 2 miles an hour. What is that about? That's raining, I better put the caution lights on, and all of a sudden everybody's like driving real careful. Bright sunshine, man, and you might as well be the Daytona 500. Everybody, no last signal, nobody knows what the hell. Nobody knows whose legs are with which, whose arms are with which. Everything's just mashed together. But the minute it starts to rain, everyone slows down about 5 miles an hour, and they put on that blinking amber light, and they're just going along at 5 miles an hour. All you can see are two hands on the wheel and some old lady's hat with a flower in it, and that blinking amber light, which is to let me know, by the way, that it's raining. Got a blinking amber light. Okay, yeah, be careful. Why? It's raining. Oh. Or maybe it's just to let everybody know that you're there, because when it rains, you know how it darkens everything, and you know, so you see the blinking amber lights. Here's a car. So that, I was right about the guy. He says it was just a heart-wrenching experience to watch, said one of the witnesses, as hundreds of migrants poured onto the Rickenbacker Causeway, they jumped into the beds of pickups and tried to make their way to the mainland. What did they think they were going to do? Nobody was going to see them? It's rough, man. What I said it last night, what a toilet of a country Haiti is. And really, the Caribbean, if those people had any brains in the Caribbean, which brains are in real short supply in those countries, believe me, they would start an economic union not unlike what Europe has. A Caribbean economic union. Now, get a load of this. The tourism down there is substantial enough. The money flow down there from tourism is pretty significant. And tourism isn't the only industry. But if all of those countries like Jamaica, Cuba, Grand Cayman, whatever the hell they got, who else, Bahamas, Haiti, you know, they really got their act together and formed an economic union of some kind, like a commonwealth or whatever else they got around there. You know, the two major industries in the Caribbean are tourism and Coca-Cola. And they could really do a box office business. I'm kidding, Chris. He's looking at me like, really? Or tourism and cocaine. Well, you go to all them bullfights, you see they don't have bullfights in the Caribbean. That's another country. I can't place it right now. They would have a viable economy, and the cockfighting alone brings in millions. They would. They would have a viable economy. They would have a... They'd have a cool thing going, but they can't get their act together down there. What's that other country down there? Grenada or some crap? Ain't that another one? There's a bunch. Barbados, all of them. The zombie-making industry in in Haiti is through the roof. Cockfighting and zombie-making. I'm going to tell you, nowhere else do you go for a zombie but Haiti. You need a zombie. You need some guy that'll serve drinks with a real bug-eyed stare just walking around. Yes, master. You go to Haiti, you can get six for, I don't know, $20. Bring them back. Have them just walking around the house. Yeah. You put this cat in a tuxedo, who's to know the difference? Dude's just serving cocktail weenies by the pool. Guy's a zombie. Cat's just walking through. Okay, what are you going to call him, Lurch? All right, Clem, that's nice. Another beer, huh? Yes, master. If the cat would call you master, it's worth the price. That would be so cool. Yes, master. Jesus. Sad, really sad, really twisted. Screwed up portion of the world. So if you think about that, maybe you're not going to have such a serious axe to grind for those guys. But having said all of that, yeah, send them back. And send anybody else from any other country that comes floating over here, I don't care if they're from Cuba or not, back. Until such time as we can sort the whole thing out, and we're not giving anybody preferential treatment. But I just would wish somebody from another country that looks upon us as the single greatest threat to world peace, open your eyes and take a look at what you see happening. People will do anything to get into this country. They will brave the Rickenbacker Causeway, man. They'll go across the sea and they'll float over here on a Michelin. Anything to live right old here in the good old USA. Now, if that don't speak volumes, man, you're deaf. They sure as hell ain't floating north to France, I'll tell you that much. See, the other thing I read is the French are all upset that they got 6 million Muslims in France. Is it six or three? Three or six. And they're all bent out of shape that they're going to have a serious riot on their hands if they go anti-Middle East. We got Muslims living in this country. We're not worried about it. Of course, we only got about six. But if it, you know, I'm sure we would be able to handle the situation. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Get a backstage pass, $6.95 a month. But if you don't think it's worth it, then I suggest you listen the weekend of November the 22nd through the 24th to our website. Check out our website, the 22nd through the 24th. All of the audio archives will be free. Our Comedy Gold archives will be free. You'll be able to listen to everything. You'll be able to hear our Listen Live line. You'll be able to hear our 30-day archive. You'll be able to hear our Comedy Gold archives. Anything else that we've got up and running, including some of the video clips that we post periodically, all of this stuff is going to be free the 22nd through the 24th, our free weekend. And once you taste what we got on our website, Jim, you're going to want to come back for more. It's only $6.95 a month. Visit our souvenir shop, too, for the Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt and for our Jay Santa Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt and all of our Best Of CDs coming. Next, our 2002 Best Of CD, which, of course, is world famous.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Extreme Radio.